The Light Behind the Window by Lucinda Riley. Read by Miranda Raisin. Jacques was grey with exhaustion. "Enough, Papa. You must rest," ordered Jean, seeing his weariness. "I'll help you upstairs now."
"But I must get to the end of the story. I haven't finished.
No more, Papa," said Jean, as he helped Jacques out of his chair and led him towards the door. "There's plenty of time. Maybe you can continue tomorrow." As they left the room, Emily sat staring into the fire. Thoughts of Venetia, who'd perhaps found love with her father only days before her death, assailed her. Emily felt humbled and awed by Venetia's strength and courage. Jean came back down the stairs and perched on the fender opposite Emily. "It's quite a story, is it not?" he murmured.
"Yes, and now I'm thinking that my aunt's early death is connected to her love affair with Frederick," sighed Emily.
"Well, we both know what happened to French women who consorted with the enemy after the war, tarred and feathered or shot by their angry neighbours," agreed Jean. Emily shuddered.
"Of all the men Sophia could have chosen. But no one can choose who they love, Emily, can they?" Jean said quietly. "And Sophia's baby, did it die too?" she pondered.
"Who knows? We can only wait until Papa shares the rest of the story with us," said Jean. "But it's obvious to me already that Frederick was a good man, and Papa's story only underlines how one's place of birth and the timing of it is a matter of chance. Does any human really choose to fight and kill?" he said. "At that time, at least, they simply had no choice whichever side they were on."
"The suffering and deprivation our forefathers knew," Emily shook her head. "It puts our own existences into perspective."
"It does indeed. Thank God, after the two world wars, certainly the West learned its lesson. For a while, anyway," Jean mused somberly. "But war will always begin again. It's the human condition to wish for change and be unable to sustain peace. Sad but true. On the positive side, the extreme circumstances it creates can bring out the best in us. Your father almost certainly saved Constance's life by going himself to the café to warn Venetia, and in return, to protect Edouard, Constance subjugated herself to the most terrible fate a woman can suffer. Alternatively, of course," he exhaled, "it can bring out the very worst, as it did with Fulk. Great power often corrupts."
"Then I'm glad I have none," Emily smiled.
"But of course you do, Emily," Jean raised an eyebrow. "Stop underestimating yourself. You're an intelligent and beautiful woman. This alone can often be enough, but you were also lucky and were born into a well-respected and powerful family. As these things go, you were given many gifts. Now it's late, and I must be up, as always, with the birds."
"Yes, of course. And you're right, Jean. I was given many gifts. Maybe it's only now that I'm starting to appreciate them," said Emily quietly.
"Good." Jean stood up. "I'll see you in the morning.
Sleep well, Jean."
20 minutes later, she was lying in the old bed in the small bedroom which Constance must have used during the time she was there. She heard Jean use the communal bathroom, then close the door to his room. Emily realized that Jean and his father were the nearest thing she had left to family. Comforted by that thought, she fell asleep.